Hello, Alice speaking.
Hello, hi there, Alice. My name's Sam, calling from MMA Legal. Is Kevin available?
Yeah, I'll get him for you if you hold on a wee second.
All right, Bill, thank you very much.
Hello.
Hello, hi there, Gavin. It's your phone from MMA. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Just for data protection, could you confirm the first line of your address and your postcode, please?
It's 10 Everi Quadrant, G211XP.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that. I spoke to you yesterday, Gavin, in regards to the witness statement. I completely forgot that I'm not actually in the office this afternoon, so I'm not going to be able to complete it at that time. Have you got any time to go through that now or not?
I can go through, so I've got about time just now.
Yep, all right, Bill. Fantastic. Obviously, as I said, the witness statement is just for us to create a picture of your time and care. This statement will go to Scottish Redress. It's on us. Ourselves, you and Redress, you get to see the statement, and it is confidential to all three of us. Okay,
right.
So I'm just going to go into the statement. Some of the questions may seem repetitive, and some of the questions may seem a bit tedious, a bit silly, but we do need to just try and get through them the best we can. You are in control of the whole meeting. You can take a break at any time, you can skip any questions, you can ask me to do weird stuff. And of course, because of the nature of the call, some of the questions may be upsetting, as they involve abuse, care placement, and the impact on your life.
Okay.
So with that being said, are you happy to continue?
Sorry?
I said, just with that being said, are you happy to proceed?
Yes.
Okay, brilliant. Do you need anyone with you, any support?
No, my wife's here.
Okay, brilliant. Is there any words or topics that you prefer to avoid? Okay, and do you understand the purpose of the statement is to support your discussion?
Sorry, I'm not hearing you very well.
Sorry, is that any better for you?
I can't hear you too well. Can that echo in?
Hello? See if that's any better for you. Is that any better for you now?
I can't hear you too well.
Sorry, I think it may be the fans in the office, because it's extremely warm. We've got fans on. Is that got any better for you?
Yes, I can hear you.
Real. Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much. So, sorry, I was just saying, is there any words that you would prefer me not to use at all?
Is there any what?
Any words that you don't want me to use?
No, just go ahead.
Brilliant. And you understand the purpose of the call is to support your Scottish Redress application?
Right.
Yep, and you are happy with the statement to be used as part of your application to Redress?
Yes, I am.
For real. Have you ever been told that you've got any serious criminal convictions?
Serious?
Yes, serious criminal convictions.
I went to see the bus.
So that would class as any murder or rape?
Oh, no, no.
No? Okay, real. You were under the age of 18 when you were placed in care, and it was in Scotland?
Yes.
Okay, real. Okay, so I have got a chronology of your care. It states that you entered care on the 4th of January 1963. You were placed in Donovan House in Strathaven.
Yes.
I've got that you were then restored with your parents on the 12th of February 1963, and you were with them for about 14 and a half months. So you were with them back up until the until the 1st of May 1964. From the 1st of May 1964 up until the 15th of January 1966, you were then placed in Donovan House again with your brothers and sisters until after the 15th of January 1966, where you then returned to your parents.
Right.
Okay, so I have I have your date of birth down here as the 15th of December 1952. So would that mean you were 11 when you first went into care?
Right.
Okay.
That was during Dunhaven House, yeah.
Okay, I've got that now. And you were placed there by the local authority. So that was your the local council at the time. And they were the people who placed you into care. And it was a children's home where you were placed. And Donovan's House was a children's home, back right.
Yes, I may have
to run
the
hospital.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hear somebody speaking in the background, and I don't know.
Sorry, that's just my colleague next to me.
Yeah, right.
I'm not too sure what's happening, because these headphones are normally called noise cancellation, but for some reason it doesn't seem to be cancelling background noise, so I do apologise about that.
That's okay.
Okay, so we just need to know a little bit about yourself. Really, so where did you grow up, Gavin?
It was kind of being where I was before that, but I went to my granddad's house. My mother and father took me to my brothers and myself to live with my granddad, Royston Road. Primer Street, that big.
Okay. So you grew up with your grandparents?
Sorry, I'm not catching up.
Sorry, so you grew up with your grandparents?
No, my mother and father were there.
Okay. And what was the area that you grew up in?
It was Reimer Street down in Royston Hill.
Royston Hill, is that?
Yeah.
Okay, well. Can you tell me a little bit about your family and your home life before you went into care? So, did you have any siblings? You had some siblings?
Yes, I had an older brother, younger brother, and a younger sister. At that time.
What was your home life like? Was it, you know, was it pleasant? Or was it a bit of a struggle?
Uncle staying there as well, and it just wasn't very pleasant for me. He just didn't take to me at all.
And what was your relationship like with your parents?
I don't know. I didn't really talk much.
Okay. Okay. Can you remember any difficulties when you were at home at all? So was there any sort of neglect or family breakdown or any sort of abuse at all?
Well, I think there was, I'm not really positive, but I did think there was a breakdown because I was taken away and put into a place in Renfrew, I don't know the name yet. I was only 4 months, called at a residential school.
Okay. Okay. And how old were you when things started to change, around 10 or 11?
Yes, I think maybe between 6 and 7.
Okay. And before you entered care, what was your health like? Was you in good health?
I think I was healthy enough.
Yeah, never had any serious conditions. Okay. What was your school and education like before you went to care? Was you in school?
I went to Royston Primary School, St. Rocks.
Okay, and were there any disability needs or learning needs at all?
No.
Okay. And have you always been known by your current name, Gavin?
Yes.
And that's Gavin McClymont, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, brilliant. So can you remember the exact reason why you were placed into care at Orgavin?
I think it was because my auntie.
Because of your auntie?
Yeah.
And who was it who made that decision that you were to go and care? Was it the local authority?
Yeah, it must have been. It was. I was taken to Glenbar Street.
Okay. And was you told that you were being taken into care, Gavin?
No, I've just gone away to get. What was it? Just gone away for a wee while to get. Better, that's what they said.
Okay. Okay. Brilliant. No problem. You said that you had siblings when you were older. Did you have siblings when you started? Did you have any more siblings when you went into care?
An older brother, a younger brother, and a young sister.
Is that all your siblings, sorry, yeah, just the four of you?
No, that was just at that time, there was four of us.
Okay. And then when you went into care, was you split from your siblings at all? So were any of you split up?
Yes, I'm trying to remember. I had two younger brothers. Younger sister.
If there's anywhere that you can't remember, you can just say that you can't remember. I said if there's anywhere that you can't really remember, or anything that you can't, you're not really confident on, then just simply tell me that you don't know, and we can move past it. It's fine. So if anything just gets too confusing for you, Gavin, we can move past. Okay.
Well, the first time and. To Dunhaven. It was my older brother, myself, my younger brother, my young sister.
Okay.
And the second time we went in, it was me, my younger brother, and the youngest sister, Jacqueline. And the brother, James, Donald, sister Geraldine, they went to a different place in Hamilton area.
A different area, and where was that, sorry?
Hamilton.
Hamilton. Oh, okay. grew up. Can you remember how you felt at the time, being split up from your siblings?
Well, I didn't want to go. We were in separate cars.
And in terms of your emotions, was you, how did you, can you remember how you felt when it was all happening? Was you confused? Was you frightened?
Well, I was confused because we were told we were going on a wee holiday. Seemed to run the car forever.
Okay, so gone through your chronology already. We've got Donovan House twice. Obviously, you attended there at different times. So what I am going to do, Gavin, is I'm just going to go through Donovan House for your first time that you stayed there.
Right.
And then do it again for the second time that you stayed there. So for this first time that you stayed there, let me just get down. What's it setting it on? So what was your daily life like there? Can you remember?
Well, it wasn't too bad at first. But at school, it was a bit of a problem.
Okay. So Donovan House itself, what was that life there? Or was the daily life like there? So did you have like routines? Did you have wash days?
Yes. Things like that were okay at first. Just getting used to what we're to do and where everything was, you know.
Okay. Well, can you describe the building for me at all? You know, was it a big house? Did it have three floors? Just a brief description.
There was a big house on the right of the places where we stayed.
It was what, sorry?
It was a big mansion type house. Creepy looking. Old.
Creepy and old. Okay. Can you remember how many floors it had?
Well, there was two main floors, and then I think it was an attic.
Okay. No problem. Okay, and did you have any chores there at all?
Not really, you just had to keep your area tidy in your bed and the locker.
And can you remember what the staff, the teachers, were like at that, at Donovan House?
Well, you had the matron. Well, you had Mr. Griffiths. And then you had the matron, that was his wife. And you had a Miss Brown. She had a blue coat. And Miss Wilson had a green coat. And then you had the nurses with a kind of uniform. And you had this other woman had a bollock.
Okay.
She was...
What were they like towards you, Gavin? Were they friendly or were they... No.
No.
Okay. And were they abusive towards you at all?
Okay. Oh,
You okay, Gavin?
Yeah, it's just...
You okay? Do you need anything?
I'm okay. It's just something to remind you.
Okay, sure. Do you need a little minute, Gavin?
Yeah, I'm finding it,
thanks. Okay. Okay, this is going to be a bit tough, okay? And I know you don't want to go over this again. Well, hopefully this is the last time we need to do this.
Right.
We just need to get this information down on paper and get it submitted to them. I know it's not nice revisiting it all. This is the only way that we can get your story heard, Gavin. It's the only way that we can get any sort of justice for you. So we really, I know it's hard. I really do. I completely understand why you're upset. But we do need to try and get this information out. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right, buddy. Let's move on. Okay. Were the rules in place and disciplines in place, punishments, etc.?
Yeah, there was no-go areas.
Were there any sort of punishment rooms or punishment rules?
Something
would happen.
Yeah, there was a few.
Okay. Are you able to describe any of them at all?
One was segregation. That was away at the back of the building. That was for children maybe who were too sick to be in the main dormitories. Spent quite a few nights there. Self.
Any other types of punishment at all?
Yeah, it was for punishment.
Okay. And what was your food and clothing like and hygiene when you were in there? Was your hygiene kept to a standard it should be? You know, was you fed properly?
Yes, but yeah. The hygiene is fine here.
Okay. And your clothing, did you have adequate clothing?
Well, I had an issue with the clothing because of school.
Okay. And how did you feel when you were there, when you had to spend your time in this institute?
In the house. Oh, right. I kept getting into trouble. Sometimes it wasn't even, I had nothing to do with whatever was going on, but I was a culprit for seems to be everything.
Okay, so the next part of the statement, Gavin, is just going to go into abuse, neglect and harm that you've experienced. So this is probably going to be the most difficult part of the call.
Okay.
Like I said before, if you want me to skip past anything or you want to move on, just let me know and we'll simply do that, okay? Just to let you know as well, you don't have to use any graphic language. You can describe the events in your own words, and you can change words to represent others if you don't want to use any triggering words. Does that make sense?
Okay,
real. So did anything happen to you when you were there that you would now consider as abuse, neglect or harm?
Well, started getting shouted at and slapped.
Okay. Was there anything else that you consider as abuse or neglect?
Yeah, the one of the worst was
Okay, take your time.
Get swung into a cold bath.
Okay. And who was responsible for this, Gavin?
Sorry?
Who was responsible for this? Was it the staff?
Staff, yes. Mainly. The main one was Miss Pollock.
Pork, P-O-R-K, or Pollock, P-O-R-R-K.
Big, it's told to get stripped. And when I realised I can see the water, I put my hand in the water and it's freezing. And I said, I'm not going in. Even grabbed the back of my hair and my genitals and swung me up into the bath.
Okay,
put my head under. But she was trying to drown me. And she pulled my head up. Start scrubbing. Okay. That happened quite a few times. That was normally for the fight in school. And the headmaster would phone Mr. Griffiths, who would arrange that sort of punishment. And then after that, we'd be taken over to the main house, that's the old building, that's where his office was. And I sat in a room, there's no doors on this room, it's a kind of half turret. And I had to sit there in this wooden chair all day when I came in from school. It was in front of his office so he could see me. If he came out or went in, I wasn't to move off that chair. And it was sore sitting in it for hours.
Okay, thank you for that, Gavin.
L24.
Okay. 9. And where was that this happened? Was this that the... So this was in the home that you were in, Donovan. In the bathroom, in the home.
Yeah.
And when did this usually happen, Gavin? Was this the daytime, nighttime, weekends?
So I'd get a cold bath usually in the Saturday morning. Because I had to go and sit in that room in the main house Saturday and Sunday. Depends how long the punishment was. Sometimes when I come back home from school, I'd have my tea and then I'd be sent up to this room to sit to bedtime. So it depends how long the punishment, if it was like 5 days or 7 days or sometimes it seemed to be all the time.
Okay. I was just going to say, how often did that happen? But you've just confirmed that for me, so thank you very much. And over what period of time did this happen, Colin? So did this continue for the whole time that you were there?
Well, not all the time.
But I'm sorry. So for the duration, so I mean, did this just happen once, or did this happen a couple of times while you were placed in that hole?
No, it was often.
Okay. Okay, and did that get worse over time? Or was it just... Did it get worse over time? Or did it a meaning, but did the abuse itself get worse? Did it get more aggressive?
The longer sessions than that, then... See, there was different things that happened that I get punished for. In most occasions, it was a bit... Close for school. I was given a girl's coat. I told them I'm not wearing that. That was taken into a room. I mean, you know, we've got a locker room when we're going to school. All the kids are there getting their bags and stuff. You know, it could be 40 or just 50. I don't know.
And what would usually happen before the abuse, Colin? Sorry.
At that time, about the coat, I said I wasn't wearing it, and it was when I went to the locker room and the coat was there, and I said I'm not wearing it. So they called for Mr. Griffiths, who came up and took me into one of the wee side rooms, took his sandal off, the big leather thing, and I don't know how long it lasted. I think I was hanging up the floor. I can't remember much about that, but I was sore. And I had to come out, and everybody was looking at me, but I just wasn't going to cry. Okay. And then that same day, when I come home from school, set up to the I'll just call it the turret room, because it's a half turret, there's no doors on it, so he can see me when he comes out of his office, like he's in his office. I had to sit in this wooden chair in the middle. If he was in the building, obviously, if I get caught off it, the punishment doubled.
Yeah. Okay.
And at night, you get a wee bit of toast and a cold cup of tea, and then you were taken over to the dormitory. And the routine would start again, go to school, come back, get my tea, then go and sit in that room till the punishment time is done, but it's never seemed to be, because I just get away one day and then be back in the next.
Okay. Were you threatened and bribed at all?
What was that?
Was he threatened and bribed at all?
Was I threatened?
Yes.
I was threatened with that, yeah. The bath. Well, bath was seen to always be a Saturday morning.
Okay.
And there was only one time I went in, and there was two boys already in the bath. I thought it was just me, it was getting all that. I've never really seen anybody else.
Okay.
I certainly done the CMD up in that room. Turret.
Did you ever suffer any pain, injury, bleeding, nightmares, bedwetting?
Yes, quite a lot of that.
Did you ever try and run away at all?
Yes. I was successful only once, ones, but it only lasted about, I don't know, 30 hours or so.
Okay. Were there any, were the injuries that you received, were they visible at all, or were they always like well concealed?
Visible. I'm not sure.
Okay,
I mean, when I get the sandal on the backside, yeah, I had trousers on. I mean, it wasn't bare. But the bath was it grabbed the back of my hair, but it was grabbing my genitals. And it was like, just getting flung into the bath. That was really sore. And I think that's the reason I've got problems then just now.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I've had them for quite a few years.
Yeah. We'll get into that in a sec, Gavin. Just give me a couple of minutes. Okay, just jumping back to the home. Did you ever receive any medical treatment at all for any of the abuse? So, for example, did you ever have to go to hospital after something had happened?
No. The only person medical there was a matron who would just check you for colds and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to go through a couple of types of abuse. If you've not had any, then simply just let me know that you never experienced that type of abuse and we'll move on past it, okay?
Okay.
So the first one is sexual abuse. So did you receive any sort of sexual abuse at all?
Yes.
Is it? Okay.
Well, it was an attempted.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you the sexual abuse questions now.
Right.
Were you ever touched in a way that made you feel uncomfortable?
Just for that thing at the bath, grabbing my genitals.
Yeah.
But the other one was older guys, older boys.
Did anyone expose you to sexual behaviour, sexual comments, pornography, sexual images, or make you
yes.
watch sexual activity?
Yes.
Okay. Do you just want to explain a little bit about that, please? Which was it? Was it sexual behaviour, comments,
well,
pornography?
There was, I don't even know their names, but there was two boys in bed. And they were showing the younger boys what they were doing. It wasn't very nice. They had his penis in his backside.
Did anyone touch yourself in a sexual way, apart from the grabbing that you've already explained?
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
So, apart from the grabbing that you've explained, did anybody else touch you in a sexual way?
Well, that was later on. It was at night. I went to the toilet. and I get jumped on.
Who was that by?
I'm sure it was the two guys that was in that bed. I'm sure I can't be 100%, but one of them, the one I know, he was there, he was in the bed, but trouble was his pal who was in bed with him that jumped me.
And was you pressured, made, threatened, tricked, or forced into taking part in sexual activity?
No, it wasn't like that. They just somebody grabbed me from the back when I was pushed to the bottom bath cubicle. And there was about five or six cubicles there with baths. So I was pushed in there, and they were pulling my pajamas down, and I fought back, obviously, but when I saw my chance, I grabbed his genitals and kind of a twist, the kind of stuff I was getting. His pal was about to get a towel to wrap around my mouth. I got him into the bath. There's no water in the bath, but I pushed him into the bath before I let him go. And then I get out of the toilet. And I didn't take a chance of getting back in at night time. I did wet the bed a few times. And then I discovered that. Went out of the fire escape one time and I found a drain. I just done the toilet, did that. So I wouldn't go to the toilet. And I discovered another boy had the same thing. He wouldn't go to the toilet. He was peeing his bed, wet the bed. I don't know the older people, when they get to 16, they're removed from the home.
Yeah.
They're taken away somewhere else.
Okay. Did anybody ask you to touch them or to touch another person?
No, I wouldn't have done that. I mean, when I saw it, now when I walked in the dormitory, well, we're not allowed in their dormitory, it's only a small. Yeah. The younger ones were standing watching and they shouted. So I went over, and as soon as I saw what was going on, I just went up.
Okay. Did anything happen involving penetration at all? Or attempted penetration?
Well, I probably would have, because I was shouting. Yeah, it's pretty loud in the toilet. Like that. It's a big toilet. Baths and cubicles and sinks and all that.
Sorry, so
it told them to get it.
When I say penetration, Gavin, what I mean is, did anything happen involving somebody putting their penis into someone, or yours into somebody else? Was it the lad on the desk? Or was it others as well?
Well, it was very close, with my concern. It was very close. I was just at the brink when I kind of went nuts. Crazy. I wanted to kill him.
Okay. Did anybody take any photographs or videos at all? Did anybody take any photographs or videos at all of this happening?
No.
Okay.
Don't know
if they
had a camera.
Okay, brilliant. Did anybody bribe you at all? So did anyone give you any privileges, food, money, or attention?
No, that was all more or less. I hardly ever got pocket money. I used to get 6 pence on a Tuesday, 9 pence on a Saturday. But I didn't see much of that.
Okay. Was it more than just one perpetrator?
More than just what?
Was it more than just one perpetrator? So was it more than one person?
No, there was on that occasion there was two.
In general of your whole time there, so it was more than one person that you experienced abuse from.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Brilt, so that's the sexual abuse part over. I'm just going to go into the physical abuse. Now, most of what you've told me I've already got down here. So it says, was you ever hit, assaulted, or physically harmed? So obviously the bath situation you've told me about. Is there anything other than that at all?
Worse than that?
No, so anything, so I've obviously got that you, in terms of physical abuse, obviously your genitals were squoze, and you were forced into a cold bath, and you also smacked with the sandal. Was there any other physical harm other than that?
Yeah, were the same people, the same ones coming home from school get ambushed?
No.
I took a couple of punches to the face, but I managed to get away.
Okay. And would you say that punishments in the home were excessive?
What was that last one there?
So would you say that the punishments in the homes was excessive?
It was no more than excessive. It wasn't just because I just couldn't jump into a freezing cold bath.
Yeah,
it took my breath away.
That's understandable.
That was mainly pollock. I think the other one was called Howley, but it was only just one of them there.
Okay. Now, in terms of objects that were used as punishment, you said before that there was a sandal.
Yes.
Was there anything else that you were hit with? Belt, slipper, brush, cane, strap, keys?
No, it was a slipper. Usually just get once or twice scalped. I says I lost count one time. All the kids were outside the door, and you know, as I was getting scalped, all the kind of talk you hear with people going to school, it was all pretty noisy, but it went all quiet.
Did you suffer any bruising, cuts, scars, or swelling at all?
Yeah. As I said, when I got that sandal at the butt, it was, I had my trousers on. And maybe a small scratches when they try to hold me down, stuff like that.
And you never received any medical treatment, I believe?
No. I was just stuck up in that turret room while I was doing the segregation.
Okay. So that's the physical abuse done, Gavin. I'm just going to move on to the emotional abuse, okay? We are nearly there. We're over halfway, so just please bear with me. We'll get most these last few bits and bobs done.
Okay.
Was you ever threatened of being moved or split from your siblings at all by the home?
Threatened of being moved?
Yeah, so did the whole member say that they were going to move you or split you up from your brothers and sisters?
Well, another thing you got there was...
Was you ever threatened to be moved around or separated from your brothers and sisters whilst you were in care?
Well, I know we're all in the same place, but I didn't see very much of them.
Okay. Was you ever told that you were bad, unwanted, dirty? So was you ever called names, basically?
Names?
Yeah. Was you ever called any names from the people who were caring for you? So was you ever told that you were bad? Was you ever told that you were dirty?
I can't imagine. I know I was getting shouted at quite a lot.
That's fine, Gab, not a problem. Sorry, do you mind me calling you Gab, or do you prefer Gavin?
What's that?
I said, I just realised I called you Gav, and then I asked, sorry, do you mind being called Gav?
Not at all.
Okay, were you ever denied family contact or letters and phone calls?
Yeah. I think only one visit.
Okay.
There was no letters, no phone calls, no.
Okay. And in regards to birthdays and Christmas, did the home provide you with anything? Did you get any birthday cards, Christmas cards?
No. Well, me in particular wasn't allowed to the Christmas party. And I'd be moved upstairs to my dormitory on my birthday. Because I think they suspected it was going to run away again. Because I told my brother he wanted to come with me. And one of his pals we made it to Glasgow City.
Yeah.
But we were caught early the next morning and taken to the police station and put in a wee room for I don't know how long. And Dave Griffiths picked us up in his car. And in the car that I was to kneel down the back seat and face the back window. And I wasn't to speak. And when we got back to the home, I was scrubbed and then put into the segregation. My brother and his two pals, I don't know where they went, I don't know if they were up in the dormitory, I don't know. And there's nobody down at the segregation.
Okay, Gavin. Were you ever forced to watch or take part in abuse or humiliation of others?
No.
Okay.
I don't think any of that.
And do you believe that you were treated differently to the other people that were in that care home?
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
So do you believe that you were treated differently to the other people that were in your care home?
Oh, yes. The older kid used to, they would take to me and they felt that, well, especially the bigger ones, the older ones, I showed a bit of pity for it, but I was hard.
Okay. Okay, I'm just going to go into a few things about neglect now, okay? So were you given enough food and drink?
They always get a breakfast, but if I got to the dining room, I always get a decent meal. But if I was getting punished, I get a bit of toast and have you drop tea. Had to sneak about sometimes to get water and some sweets.
Okay. Were you ever hungry or underfed?
What was that?
Was you ever hungry, underfed, or denied food?
Oh, I was hungry pretty often, as I knew Mr. Griffiths kept a pocket money box in his bedroom, and he'd sweets, he gives everybody a sweet and after meals. So if I was in that toilet room, if I knew he was out the building, I would sneak in and get some sweets.
You said before that you had stuff to keep you clean, your hygiene was okay.
So I didn't catch up again.
Sorry, so you said before that your hygiene was fine, so you had toiletries, you had stuff to get clean.
Yes, well, we got baths, along with a cold baths. We always got a couple of baths during the week, baths.
And stuff to clean your teeth and stuff like that?
Yes.
Okay. And with the home itself, was it clean and safe, or...?
Yeah, you know, I would say clean, yes.
Okay, no worries.
Safe.
Sorry, you were at the end. I was just going to ask a question and saying, was you ever locked in rooms or placed in different rooms? You've confirmed that you were placed in a turret in the building. Was there any other rooms that happened in, or was it just the turret?
Well, I don't know what they were trying to do to me, but when you got the main stairs to the dormitories, the left is the girls, the right is the guys, and there's a nursery, a small nursery room, I think, for sick children. There's two big cots in it, and they get popped in there, locked in there.
Okay.
That was just it was the segregation, the turret,
yeah,
and that place.
Okay. And any medical appointments that you had, so for example a doctor or a dental appointment, was you taken to them if you needed them?
I never needed them in that time.
Okay. Was you protected from bullying, sexual abuse, or other children when you were there?
No, I didn't. I had to protect myself from the bullying.
Did the staff support your homework, attendance, and learning for school? Would the staff help with homework and stuff, or would they be on your back to do that?
I didn't get any homework I had. If there was any, I would do it in my dormitory myself. Well, most of us did that.
And this question does seem a bit tedious given what you told me, but did you feel safe in that home at all?
No. Especially when I was put out the road. You know, that segregation place was very creepy at night.
Yeah.
And hear the wind howling and stuff like that, you know. And I knew if I shouted them, then there's nobody there.
Okay, so the people who was involved in the abuse, was that staff and students?
What was that?
Anybody being involved in the abuse, was that simply staff and students?
No, the abuse from the staff was from with the cold bath, the grabbing the back of my head, and
What I'm asking, Gavin, is it just the people in the home? So that the staff that was in the home and the children that were in the home, or was there anybody else that came
to
the home?
No, no. They were just all from the home, everybody.
Okay.
There was no strangers allowed in there.
So some of these questions I'm just going to skip through because you've already told me quite a lot. So the first question, it just asks if it was staff or if it was other children that were involved in the abuse. Obviously, you've confirmed it was staff and children. Sorry.
Yes.
Another question is, were there multiple perpetrators? You've already told me that other people were involved. It says, were there other children affected? You've already told me that you was made to sit collectively and watch people having sexual intercourse. So I've put yes, and if you witnessed the abuse of other people, which you did. You've confirmed that you were abused, bullied, threatened, or sexually abused or exploited by children or other young people.
Yes.
Okay. Any of those children that did what they did, were they known to be violent, or were they known to, you know, should they have had extra supervision?
I don't know. I mean,
okay. That's fine. And apart from the staff that were doing, so apart from the staff that were grabbing your genitals and putting your head in the bath, did other staff members know that that was happening by any chance, or did they not know?
Well, I don't know, because
you don't know.
If it was a call from the headmaster of the school, I didn't know about it, jack it up. But
no.
They just came for me in the morning, taken in, get stripped, the bath was already run, and sling me in it. So somebody had been told to do that. I mean, if anybody was told to do that, it's got to come for you. Whoever got a phone call for the school would be Griffiths or Matron.
Okay. And did other children speak about this at all in the home, or was it not spoken about?
No.
No.
Did that's where I've been. A lot of times they say, where were you? Or where were you then, or what? I say, I always had to sleep down there, or I'd stuck here in that turret room. I didn't call it the turret room then, I just called it a room up in the CrossFit Griffiths' office. Because they never seen much of me. They used to play the football quite a lot. But that just kind of, most weekends it was in that room.
Okay. And did staff intervene or ignore you or blame you?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. I had a fight with a guy. Yeah, but and his girlfriend's came out. He brought a box with him, and there was boxing gloves in it. The big guy gets a pair of gloves, and then he gave me a pair of gloves, which was a bit, I don't know, was far too big. And he said to me, make his nose bleed and I'll give you sixpence. And storming them big gloves on, they were too far too big. I couldn't get, even if I stood in a chair, I still wouldn't have hit his nose. But that sort of thing, and I'm saying to myself, I mean, I should have had the small gloves on and the big guy with big gloves on.
Yeah.
I said, this is just for me to get a doing here, and that's what happened. I get punched all over the place. And nobody stepped in to stop it.
Okay.
So I knew I was getting punished, you know.
Yeah.
But I took revenge later on. I used a small sling I had.
Okay.
I don't know why, but nothing happened. I don't know if he'd obviously never told anybody.
And did you tell anybody at the time?
At the time, no. Yeah. When they ambushed me coming home from school, came up behind the trees, there was four of them, and I got my mouth burst. So when I fired it, it was only a small stone, and when I fired it at him, it hit him in the lip. But he obviously never told anybody, because I was waiting to get punished for it, and then nothing happened. But he didn't come anywhere near me again after that, so. And he was one of the attackers in the toilet. But I don't know what age he was, but I know when you're 16 you get moved out. But I didn't see him much at all. But obviously he was moved away somewhere else.
Okay, and you were ignored by staff. Sorry, you said that you never tried to tell any of them. And it's not because you feel like you'd be ignored.
No, if I tried to tell them, I mean, I told them before about somebody else, and I was just saying, look, he's a nice person, and you should be a nice person. Who are we? That's the kind of treatment I got.
Okay. Okay, did you ever report any of this to the police or local authorities?
Did I contact them? No. Just when the police asked me, why did you run away when I get caught in Glasgow? They asked me, why did you just run away in this weather? And it was the other ones, my young brother and his pals just followed me. So I had to say, look, it was me. How can you handle it in there? And they never asked me anything else. So that was that. He says, well, Mr. Griffith's been called here, come and pick you up. And that's what happened. Nothing.
Okay, so no.
Why did you run away? You know, nobody asked that.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so I'm just going to move on to the next section now, which is movements between placements and leaving care. So the first question is, did you move between homes and settings? I've obviously explained that you have because of your care record, so I've got your chronology here. You've confirmed that the reasons for moving around weren't confirmed to you. You were just told that you were going to be taken on holiday. You've also confirmed that the abuse was in these places, in the placements on both times that you went. You confirmed that you had tried to run away previously, but ended up back in the care home. When you left care, so 1966, how old was you then? Was that when you were 17, 1952?
I've still been in my teens. 14,
yeah, you 13. Still would have been in your teens. Okay. And with you still being in your teens, you were around 14, 15. And did you just return home then?
There's a what? Oh, I can't hear that.
You returned home back to your parents, and I believe in Glasgow.
Yes, I went to a different, they had a different house.
Okay.
My father picked us up, took us there.
Okay.
And I just kept getting into trouble for that day onwards.
Okay. I'm going to move on to the impact on your childhood and immediate aftermath, okay? And so how did the abuse, neglect and harm affect you at the time? Just tell me how you felt at the time.
Oh, I didn't feel it. I just felt, that will not happen. It's not going to happen again. And it was just, I was just turned aggressive straight away.
Okay. did it affect your confidence and your trust issues and relationships?
Yeah, see, so, I mean, yeah, I just had I just didn't like him, once I was out of there, I just didn't like him to tell me what to do.
What to do, yeah, understandable.
When I went to school, and he fights again, and, yeah, it was always my fault. Somebody ripped my book, went into a fight because it, and I was told to pay for the book. And I just kind of, right, away you go, that's it. You need to pay for the book. I didn't hear it, but that was the end of it.
Yeah. Okay, so, did you, just confirm if you'd done any of these, did you start bedwetting, self-harming, fighting, using substances, offending, or missing school?
No, I think the worst thing, I would get into fights all the time. I mean, some fights, probably knew I was going to get done, but I just went in and get a black eye or a burst nose, and as long as I got a couple of hits in, I was happy. I don't know why I kept doing it, but I don't know how I got to that stage. Just instant aggressive. Just, and I didn't like him to come up behind me. And, look, grabbing you, or sneaking up behind you or something like that.
Yeah.
I would turn and get aggressive straight away. Probably wasn't required, but that's just the way things turned out.
Okay. And how did this affect your school, your education?
Well, I don't know. I just get picked on quite often. Try to learn what I could at the time, but I was disrupted because I knew I was going to have to fight it in the playtime or when I leave school. Yeah. I knew that. I just got used to it. So I moved to a different school, and I don't know the same stuff. I was just signed on to, I wanted to stay on school. So I stayed on an extra 6 months doing a course in electrical engineering. And just couldn't get peace for anybody. And then from there I started drinking.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get onto that in a sec. Okay, how was your relationships affected? So when you were a child, did you have trust issues? You obviously said you had a bit of anger, a bit of a difficult time.
Oh, I don't talk to my brother very much or my father.
Okay, Brill, thank you very much. I'm just going to move on to the last little part now before we get some closing questions. So this is about your long-term impact on your adult life. Obviously, I have read over your GP records. I can see that there is quite a few factors that we need to take into consideration when it comes to the abuse that you've received and how it's affected you in your adult life. So just in your own words, how's this affected your mental health?
Well, I take it I must have been affected in some sort of way. I think I've seen 3 or 4 different psychiatrists for 3 years.
Have you ever experienced anxiety? Just answer yes to these symptoms. Have you ever experienced any anxiety?
Anxiety?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. My voice goes, seems to fade.
Yeah. Any depression?
Oh, yes. I've been on antidepressants quite a few times.
PTSD?
What's that?
Any PTSD?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Panic attacks?
Sorry, that.
Panic attacks.
I don't really know. Depressed stuff. Okay. You know.
Did you ever have any suicidal thoughts or self harm?
No, but I have lately. That's just because, you know, things. You know, you just feel like I don't want to wake up in the morning. I was seeing the doctor there for it. But that was through my grandson passing away.
Yeah. And how has this affected your physical health, Gavin? Have you got any chronic pain, any sleep disturbance, any substance misuse?
No substance, no. Just... A lot of times I can't sleep at night. If something's in my head, I just see me.
Yeah.
Kind of get it out. Got to get up and do something.
Okay. Any substance misuse? Any drugs or alcohol?
No. No. Never drugs, no. Alcohol, yes, I did have. But I've kind of, I don't drink the same as I used to when I was younger.
And how's this affected your relationships with people in your life now? So do you still have trust issues?
No, my wife, well, I've had my arguments, but she always said that there's something there that she gets sorted.
Yeah.
And I knew what she was talking about, but I just didn't want it. It just seemed that long ago.
Okay. Okay, is there anything that you avoid now because of what happened?
I don't know, it's just maybe the way I react sometimes.
Okay. Is there any places or smells or anniversaries that trigger you?
I don't like getting into what's causing that smell of disinfectant. That was in that home all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't like getting into these places in case I don't get out.
And what's your day-to-day life like now?
Sorry?
What's your day-to-day life like now? Do you just...
I'm retired now. You know, I keep myself busy walking and other stuff.
Yeah, okay. And what would you feel your life might have been like if this didn't happen?
Well, funny you should say that, because I did say something like that a while ago. I said I wish I'd met my wife a bit sooner, and I wouldn't have probably had that start. I'd have been a lot smarter. Definitely. I want to get into trouble for a start.
And if you have to sum it up,
she's been pretty good for me. What's that?
Okay, that's brilliant. And if you have to sum it up that the impacts are hard overall, what would you say?
Sorry, I'm not catching that. Hold on, let me see. Just it. sorry there, I just had to wipe my face a bit there.
It's okay, no worries.
Yeah, talking about my wife, she's not that long after a stroke. She's recovered well.
Okay, well, we're right at the end now, Gavin. I've just got a few little bits and bobs I need to clarify. So the next part of the statement, it just goes into support and evidence and indirect evidence. So that's what we've went and done for you. We've went and got all of that there. So it just asks about any records that you've got, any GP records, social care records, any records that show time and care, any photographs, any siblings, so on and so forth. Everything in that section you have already confirmed. So I will re-input that in, okay?
Okay.
Last few questions now. Have you ever made a previous civil claim for any of this abuse that you've received?
No.
No. Okay, not a problem. Have you ever received any payment, apology or response for the abuse that you were victim to?
No.
Have you ever signed any waiver or settlement agreement for this abuse?
What was that?
Have you ever signed any settlement agreement? So have you accepted anything from anybody for this abuse?
No, I've not.
Okay. Why are you applying for the Scottish Redress Scheme? Is it for justice? Is it to be heard? Is it to stop it from happening again?
Well, that comes in, yeah. The time I just didn't want to go back there. It was my wife and our sister were talking about it, and my sister-in-law mentioned she was abused, and I just started talking, and they said you should do something about it, so that it can help people like myself.
Well done, mate. You're nearly there, Gavin. Well done. Is there anything that you want Scottish Redress to understand about what happened? So if you have to sum it up in one last little sentence that you can say to them, what would you say?
Whatever that's happened, I just wish it never happened. So I don't think I've had any sort of childhood. I can remember happy times.
Okay, well.
And drinking doesn't help either. I'll try that.
Okay.
But I'm glad I'm over that now.
Okay, well done. Just got a few closing questions and welfare checks, Gavin, and then we're all done, okay? How are you feeling today after going this? Do you still feel okay?
Yes.
Okay. Do you feel safe leaving the call or when the call's ended?
Do I feel safe?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone that you need to contact for support or are you okay?
I'm okay.
Okay. Do you want me to send you details of any support services or are you okay?
Sorry, I'm not catching up. Okay.
Would you like me to send you some details of some local support services or are you okay?
No, I've got my doctor's been pretty good lately for other things, and she's gave me numbers for Samaritans and other places.
Okay.
If I want to talk to Andy.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, Gavin, well, thank you very much for your time. I'm glad to make you aware that your statement is now complete. So what will happen now is I'm going to neaten your statement up for you. So I'm going to rejig it all. I'm going to put it in a nice fancy format, and then I'm going to get that sent over to you. That document will go to your email address, and it will be on what's called a signable document. So all that means is it will come to your email address, you'll open it up, and you click the box that says sign. It will let you read through the statement, and then when you're happy to sign it, just type your name, and it will create a signature, and it will send it right back to us.
Okay.
With that statement, there will be a leaflet just explaining what happens next and where we go from here. And there is also another document that just explains the payment authority. So So that just explains that you're happy for the adjuster to pay us for us to take our cut and then send the remainder to yourself.
Okay.
Once we have all of that back, Gavin, we will then forward your application and your support and evidence to the Scottish Redress. And once we've got that, it's just a case of waiting for a panel date and then waiting for an amount of compensation. Due to your age, you are on a high priority list. So therefore, once we submitted your statement, Scottish Redress should jump on it straight away and then action anything that needs to be actioned. So hopefully we can get you paid out within the next 3 months.
Okay.
So keep an eye out for your statement. It'll probably be with you Monday now, if anything, because as I said, I'm off this afternoon. So I'll get that over to you either over the weekend or Monday. And then I'll give you a little text message so you've got the information there.
Okay.
Once we have that back, I'll send it to Redress, and then I'll keep you updated from there on out, Gavin. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right, Will. All right, well, you've got my details. If you need to contact me for anything at all, if you need any support, you know where I am.
Okay.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening.
All right, Gavin. Not a problem. Speak soon. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye.